Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Nazir. We are almost at the end of the Masechta. We're doing the second to last Daf from the end of the Masechta, Daf Samachay. We're going to repeat the Mishnah, which we started and finished learning yesterday, but we'll chazer it over again on the bottom of Samach Talad Amid Beis. We begin four lines from the bottom, Samach Talad Amid Beis, with the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Hamotze Meis Bat Chila. If a person finds a mace buried in a field, it's not clear that that field was a cemetery. He just finds a single mace. So if this mace is mushkov kedarko, the mace is lying in the normal way that a Jewish mace is found. In other words, the feet are extended out and the hands are on the chest of the mace, as we'll discuss in the Gemara. If you find it in another way, you may assume that it is a guy. In this situation, one has to presume that it's a Jewish mace. It's metami ba'ohel. And note low, you therefore have the halachic right, since it's not buried permanently in a cemetery, to remove the mace and bury it elsewhere. The estifusah, so you have to go and take a certain amount of the surrounding dirt, which the Gemara again will discuss, to make sure that none of the remains of the mace are left behind, and that you're removing the entire mace and reburying it. That's when you find a single mace. If you find a second mace nearby, shnayim, so then, note lun, you are allowed as well to go and take that mace, the estifusasan, and also the surrounding dirt underneath that mace as well, and remove it and bury it elsewhere. However, when you find three matzah shlosha, when you find the third of such mason, and you haven't removed the first and the second one yet, so then, depending on how they're located in terms of distance from each other, this may fit the typical burial process that a Jewish cemetery had, which was, again, dug into the ground, into the rocks. They would make these kuchen, these recesses, where they would bury the mace in. This typical burial area would be a dimension of 4x8 amos, as we discussed yesterday. 4 amos are the width of the back, and the length would be 8 amos. So therefore, you could fit 6 mason in the 8 amma area, because there's a little bit of space in between each one, and you can fit 3 mason in the 4 amma area. So if you find these mason within a distance of each other, they could be in the back wall or on either of the side walls. So in other words, im yesh bein zeh lezeh, between the first and the third, obviously there's one in between. If you have a distance that is mi dalit amos v'ad shmona amos, so it's between 4 and 8 amos, so it could fit into this configuration that we just said, and they're all, as we'll see in the Gemara, facing in the same orientation, so they're all parallel to each other, with all the heads facing in the same direction. So then, this is considered a cemetery. Harezu shkunas kivaros. It is considered a halachic cemetery, and therefore you're not allowed to remove these, because when a person is buried in the cemetery, unless there are extenuating circumstances, we normally do not remove that mace. This is a major discussion today. If people want to be removed from where they're buried and brought to Eretz Yisrael, or sometimes if they were buried in a place and they now want to be moved to the family ancestral plot, so they're under extenuating situations like that, you're allowed to move a mace. But normally the mace is buried in the cemetery. That's where the mace will be until Tchiyas HaMeisim. So this is considered, if you find three mason in such a way, in such an orientation, it is considered a cemetery. Harezu shkunas kivaros. And we turn to Samachay Amun Aleph. And now you have to see how far the cemetery extends. So therefore, Bode Kemenu Lahalun Esrodam. We have to go check out 20 amos in the right orientation from the mace in those directions. Why 20 amos? Because the way they used to do this was that they would have this burial area of 4x8 amos, and it would be connected to another burial area with a 6x6 amma space, a courtyard, a chatzer, in between them. So therefore, you would have the 8 amma length of the first burial chamber, the 6 amma length of the chatzer in between, and then another 8 ammas. Now, again, higher math tells me 8 plus 6 plus 8 is 22. So why does the Mishnah say 20 amma? So the Gemara will explain, because in this situation, you're dealing with one of these Nebuch burial chambers having for little children, and they take up less space. So therefore, you're only going to need 6 ammas in length in one of these burial chambers. So it's 6 plus 6 plus 8, which is a total of 20. You, when you check at 20 amas in at distance and you don't find another mace, so then you can assume that the cemetery doesn't extend beyond that area. But if you do find the mace, matzo echa b'sof esamam, if you find one within 20 amas, even if it's at the very end, so then you got to keep on checking. Bodek heimen ulhalon esanam. You got to go check again another 20 amma to make sure that there is no mace over there further, and that the entire area, much larger than what you have, is a cemetery. And the reason why you have to go check is because once you already have found some mason there, three mason within the appropriate distance, then it has the status of a cemetery. And the Gemara says sheraglayim ledover, and that's why, as I mentioned yesterday, this mission is here, because we had the previous usage of the words sheraglayim ledover in the previous mission. So that's why this mission is here as well. There is support for this idea. There are legs to stand on. In other words, it is supported by the fact that you found this original mason, and therefore raglayim ledover, it has a substantive basis for this, and therefore, she'ilu t'chila mitzol, because if you only found this a single body, at the distance of 20 amos that you found it without having the first three, so then I would have said that it is a single isolated mace and no tlo vs tfusasa, and you'd be allowed to go and remove it along with the underlying dirt to make sure that you're removing the entire mace and all the secretions and basur that may have melted into the ground from the mace, and therefore that would normally have been permissible. But here now, since you found already three mesim, so therefore raglayim ledaber, there's legs to stand on, there is substantive support for the idea that there's a cemetery and you can't move that last mace. Okay, this Chazara, that's the Mishnah from yesterday. Now we start with new Gemara. Four lines at the top, Samachay Omer Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda the Amora tells us, Matzah, when we use the Lashon in the Mishnah, if you found it, that is as opposed to Prat L'Matzui, as opposed to if it was already known. So when we say here, you found this mace, it excludes a mace that was already there. What does that mean? It excludes a mace that's already there. So there's a machlokas over here, and you can see this machlokas in Tosos, Dibra Maskul Motzah, Prat Lemotzui. So Tosos first brings down the Pirush of the Ri. He says, Shimhoya Yodua, if you knew that the mace was there beforehand, Lo Yehei Notlo, you're not allowed to go remove that mace from there, even though it's a single mace, because it was known to be buried there. Kedamin and Perek Nigmar Hadin, Limor and Sanhedrin tells us, Kever Hanimtsa Mutal Afanosa, that in normal circumstances, you find the grave, you're allowed to go and remove it, but Kever Hayodua, if you knew somebody was buried there, also Lefanosa, you wouldn't be allowed to go and remove that kever. In other words, that mace was buried there on purpose, and you can't go and remove the mace from that kever. Now, at the end of the Tosos, however, Tosos brings down Pirush Haramba, Rashbam. Abo Rashbam Pirush, four or five lines from the end of this Tosos, he says, Prat Lematsu, he says, when it says that you found it, as opposed to somebody who was known to be there, he says, Dahainu, Echad Yedua Ushtayim Batchila, which we're going to have in a moment. The Besomuch, the Gemara is going to say that. So according to this, you are allowed to remove it if it's one person that's known. So these are the two options that the Tosus brings down, and he says there's a kasha on the Rashbam. In any event, these are the two ways to possibly learn this matzah, prat lematzui, that when our Mishnah is saying that you're allowed to go and dig up the mace and reinter it elsewhere, so that in that situation it's as opposed to if you know that the mace is over there for sure. Then the Gemara continues, mace prat laharug. It tells us in the Lashon of the Mishnah, it says a matzah mace, if you found the person that expired over there, as opposed to somebody who'd been murdered, prat laharug, as opposed to somebody who had been clearly killed. He'd been chopped up, he'd been nebuch speared, you can see the wounds, etc. Mushkov, when it uses the Lashon of Mushkov, that's prat liyoshev, as opposed to somebody in a sitting up position. Jewish people aren't buried in a sitting up position. They're buried lying down. So if you find the mace in a sitting up position, mistama, it is a non-Jewish mace. And therefore, the dinim of Tumas Oel don't apply. Likewise, kidarko, when we said in the Mishnah, it has to be in the normal positioning, it means prat l'shirosho munach ben yerechosav. That means that the person is lying flat, as opposed to he's bent over, like the goyim would bury somebody with his head bent over in between his thighs. So therefore, if you found the person that's not buried in the normal Jewish manner, then one has the right to halachically assume that it is a non-Jewish mace. Now, the Gemara continues and brings down the following brisa. Tani Ula Bar Chanina. Ula Bar Chanina learned the following brisa, where it says, mace shechosi. If you find the mace that's missing part of the mace, so ein lo tfusa. It doesn't have the din of tfusa, which means that you have to go and collect the surrounding dirt underneath the mace down to three etzbos, as we'll see. And this din doesn't apply if the mace is chaser. Likewise, the lo shchunas kavaris, this mace would also not be part of the three mason that you need to find in order to declare this to be a cemetery. The Gemara then continues and says, v'chol hani. When it says v'chol hani, it's referring to the mace prat laharug, mushkov prat liyoshev, kidarko. And what is that coming to teach us? V'chol hani, my time at lo. Why are they not considered then to be part of a Jewish cemetery? Because, as I pointed out already, we have a halachic right to assume that if they're not buried in the way a normal Jewish mace is buried, that this mistama is a non-Jewish mace. Where it says, the following braisa, if you find two graves, Echad Rosho Shoseh Bitzad Margalos of Shoseh, one of them is facing in an orientation, let's say north-south, with the head towards the north, the feet towards the south. The other one is the head towards the south, with the feet towards the north. In other words, they're not facing the same way. They're in opposite directions. They're parallel to each other, but one is facing north and one is facing south. So that's what the Brisa says. If you found these two buried bodies, Motzeshtaim, Rosh Hoshoshe, Bitzad Margalos Shoseh, Rosh Hoshoshe, Bitzad Margalos Shoseh, one is facing north, one is facing south. So obviously, this is not a Jewish burial ground, and therefore, there is no din of Tfusa, that they have halachic status of a Jewish mace, and that you have to go collect, if you're interring them someplace else, that you have to go collect the surrounding dirt. Ein lehem Tfusa. because this is not considered Jewish mason. Below Shuras Kfaros, and likewise it wouldn't constitute a Jewish cemetery, again, because that's not the way Jewish people are buried. In a Jewish cemetery, you always bury them in the same orientation. Furthermore, Motzo Shlosha, if you were to find three bodies there, as our Mishnah had said, but one was already known to be there beforehand. Ushnaim Tchila. This is what Tosfos brought down, the name of the Rashbam, a moment ago. If one of them was known already to be there, and then you find two additional bodies that were not known to be there, or, now, the words that we have is Ushnaim, but the gears over here of the groin on the side is brought down, Echad Tchila, or one of them was not known. He's one found there for the first time. But the two people that were buried there previously that were known in both of these situations. So again, the girsa that we have is ain lahem tusa. There is no tusa, but that's not how we have the right girsa. The right girsa is worked down on the side. It says yesh lahem tusa. They in fact do have tusa in this situation because mistama, they're Jewish bodies, and if you're going to go and remove them, which you have the halachic right to do so, because the ein lohem shchunas kfaros, it doesn't constitute a cemetery because one was known, and once one is known, or if two are known, it's still not constituting a cemetery, and in this situation, all three have to be either known, or all three are not known beforehand to constitute a cemetery. So in this situation, while there is no din of a cemetery, there is a din of tusa, and the ein lohem shchunas kfaros, as I said, there isn't a din of a cemetery. Now, Ma'isa Shahaya, to prove this. Ma'isa Rabbi Yesheva. Rabbi Yesheva was one of the Tanoim. Shabbadak, he once had such a situation, and he checked it out. Two of them had previously known to be buried there, and then they found the third grave there that was unexpected. So what did he want to do? He wanted to go and make it into a cemetery, because after all, there were now three bodies there. But Rabbi Kiva told him, no, that's not the halacha. Amar Rabbi Kiva, Kol Shiyagata, everything that you tried in this situation to make it into a cemetery, Lorik Yagata, you did it for naught. In other words, it won't be effective because the bottom line is, Lo Amru, the din is, you only have a Shunas Kavaros, the girsa that we have is Elo Legimo Yiduin, O Lishlosha Tchila, whether there are three that are known or three that were unknown. It has to be all three the same status. But if you have one that's known and two that are unknown, or two that's known and one that's unknown beforehand, so then that will not work. That will not constitute a Jewish cemetery. That's the girsa that we have. The Gra brings down a different girsa, Ayin Shamin Os Aleph in the Gra. Okay. Gemara continues and quotes the Mishnah. It says, Note Lon V'es Tu Sosim. When you find the first mace over there, or the second mace, you're allowed to go and inter the body, re-inter the body elsewhere, take the body out, and you have to go and take the Tfus with it. So, Hechi Domi Tfusa. Gemara asks, Hechi Domi Tfusa. That's a strained Lashon. Rosh brings down Pirish. What does this mean? Hechi damitvusa, hechi chazinon shetzorich litol imo. How much do you have to go and remove with the mace in order to be this tvusa? That's the girsa that the Rosh has. However, on the side, it brings down that the girsa should be over here from the aruch. He says minayin. What is this din of tvusa? How much is tvusa? So Amar Yehuda, the Amor of Yehuda says, based upon the pasuk. Omar Kra, the pasuk tells us, Unusastani Mitzrayim Ukvartani Bikvura Sam. Yaakov tells Yosef, please don't let me be buried in Mitzrayim. Go and take me to Eretz Yisrael. And we darshan over here, and the girsa on the side brings down that we have to add the extra word Mitzrayim. It says, Unusastani Mitzrayim, and then it garishes on the side, Mitzrayim Tol Imi. Go and take some of the dirt of Mitzrayim with me. So review the darshans is to teach us that Tol Imi, you have to go and remove some of the dirt from Mitzrayim with me. Now, this side girsa over here points out that he wasn't buried in Mitzrayim. So what are we talking about? So the answer is that Yaakov didn't know he wouldn't be buried in Mitzrayim. He thought he would be buried in Mitzrayim. He didn't realize that Yosef would take him straight to Eretz Yisrael. He thought they would originally bury him in Mitzrayim, and ultimately Yosef would be able to bring him to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore he said, when you bury me in the ground in Mitzrayim, go and when you take me out of the ground in Mitzrayim, you have to take out the surrounding dirt with me. This is the source for this din of Tfusa. Now the Gemara says, how much is this? V'kama shir tfusa. What is this shear of tfusa? Until now we'd asked hechidami or minayin. What is this din of tfusa? And now we're saying, how much is the shear of tfusa? How deep into the ground do you have to go and take it out? So pirish. Now the gears that we have is Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadok, but the gra and the gears on the bottom says it's a tosa tfus. This is a mistake because this is the amora, as Tosos tells us. This is the amora in Dibur Maschil. Kamashir. He says, who Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas? This is the Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, Amora. And he says, this din, that no tell offer tichuach. You take all the surrounding loose dirt, and then, in addition, the chofer, you dig into the ground, bipsula, into the virgin ground, underneath the maize, gimel etzbos, a distance of 3/4 of a tefach, 3 etzbos, 3 thumb widths, and that will be where the mace, so to say, disintegrated into the ground. You'll pick up all the mace in this fashion. Now, the reason why this is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas and not the Tana Rabbi Elazar Rav Tzadok is because we're now going to bring a kasha on this from the Tana Rabbi Elazar the Rav Tzadok. So the Gemara now says, Meisve, how can the Amora Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas tell us this din? It seems to go against the Tana Rabbi Elazar Rav Tzadok. What did he say? The Kamashir Tfusa. This Brisa says, how big is the shear of Tfusa? So here we have Pirish Rabbi Elazar Rav Tzadok. The Tana Rabbi Elazar Rav Tzadok says, no tell us a kismin. You have to go and remove the kismin. So the Rosh tells us, the Rabbi Elazar kismin, this is Kotze. This is any of the wood of the coffin. Now, Tosus points out that that would be a problem based upon what we learned previously, that this wouldn't constitute the surrounding dirt if it has other things other than the pure mace in it. So therefore, Tosus says that these are pieces of shayish, of marble, that had been used over here. So those can be simply removed because you take them out. They're not, definitely no mace is absorbed in them. So no telesekismen, you remove these either pieces of wood, according to the Rush, or, like Tosus seems to suggest, these pieces of marble. Vyasa kisosos, this kisosos, the Rush tells the Diba Masu kisosos, is kamo kuzezes adoma. These are like clumps of dirt. So those you can get rid of because they are definitely not going to have the mace inside of them. Vizorek es avadoim, you can throw away anything such as these that are clearly not part of the body. Umeniach es asfekos, and you leave anything that could possibly have body absorbed into it. And vashar, and everything else that's left of the body, mitzarev, you go and calculate that if with the surrounding svekos areas adds up to be lerov binyano shomeis, that adds to be the rov of the binyan of the mace. Now, Tosus doesn't have that girsa. Tosus has the girsa over here in the middle of the Tosus meisve. He has the girsa that this is just lerov, mitzarev lerov, and that means rov binyan or lerov binyan. And then he has ulerova atzamos, or it adds up to be a rova of a kav of atzamos, which would also be, and then they have the gear, so, ooh, they have the vav over here, ooh, limlo tarvad rekav, or it ends up to be a tarvad, a certain ladle size worth of rekav, which we said was this corpse dust that was the disintegrated body. In any of these situations, that's how you have to much remove. That's the sheer tfusa. Now, notice he didn't say anything about 3 etzbos. That's why the Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, poses a problem to the Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. How can Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas go against the Tana? So Gemara says, simple, because Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas also has a Tana on his side. Who do Amar ki hai Tana? Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, but not on his own. He holds like the following Tana, the Tani. It says in this Braisa Befeirish, like Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. The Kama Shir Tfusa, how much is the Shir Tfusa? So Amar, now here it says, Rabbi Yochanan Mishum ben Azai. Now that sounds like it's Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yochanan, but the Tosos tells us in the bottom Tosos, Lav Hainu Rabbi Yochanan Amora, this isn't the Amora Rabbi Yochanan, Ella, this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Tana Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And therefore, he says the name of Ben Azai. Ben Azai is a Tana, he's Rabbi Akiva's son-in-law, and he says, No tell offer tichoach, you take the loose dirt that's right around the body, and as well, exactly like Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas said, b'chofer b'vesula, you go and dig into the virgin ground underneath it, shalosh espos, 3 finger breaths deep, 3 thumbs worth, 3/4 of a tefach, and that is tfusa. So this is who the Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, holds like this Tana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, in the name of Ben Azai. Then we call it the Mishnah, it said, Bode kemenu, you go and count 20 amos beyond that point in time. We turn to Samachay Amud Beis. We have a statement from Rava. Omer Rava. Rava tells us what happens in Bodak. You check out this field and you find the body and Upina, and then you remove the body and you bury it elsewhere. What happens if you then Bodak, you find and check further and you find another body, Upina? Well, you're allowed to. It's only 2 bodies. You're allowed to go remove the second body as well, with all of the din that we just said in terms of the Tfusa as well. Then you continue checking Bodak, but here the Ashkach, now you find the 3rd body. Now, if you hadn't removed the 1st 2 bodies, this would now constitute a cemetery. But now you'd remove the 1st 2 bodies, so what's the din? So the Gemara says, Lo hai mefane le gabe hanach tre, this 3rd body is not allowed to be removed like the 1st 2 bodies were removed, the lo hani tre le gabe hai chad, and you don't have to go bring back the 1st 2 bodies that you had already removed to join the third body. But the third body that you found cannot be removed. As the Rosh says in Dibur Maskil Amar Rabba, he says, Kedin nimtza kever echad upineyu, the first one and then the second one you're allowed to remove because you didn't know that there would be a third kever there. However, once you find the third kever, you can't go and remove it. As he says in the next Dibur Maskil, Lohai mifanei gabi hanoch, ein yochol ufanos hagimu, you can't remove the third one from this area, mikan, ki huvra hardovar, because now it is clear, shein shunatz kvarus, because you didn't know this when you removed one and two, you didn't know it was a cemetery at that point in time, but now you do know it's a cemetery, so you can't remove body number three, but you don't have to go and return the first two. As the Rosh says in the next Dibur Maskil, the lo hanoch, so he says, gam lo chayivu chachomim lasar habezel mekolom, you don't have to go and return the first two that you had already removed. Why? Because halachically you were allowed to move them. Kivon shebeshah shepinam misham. At the moment when you removed body number one, body number two, lo yah yedua shoyo shchunas kvaros. At that point in time, you did not know, so you're not mechuyib now to go back. You had the halachic right to remove them when you did, and therefore you don't have to go and return them now. That's the first version that we have of Rava. Ikra the Amre, there's a second version that Rava said as follows. Omar Rava, Rava said, Kivan Shinita Rishus Lefanos Mefanalon. Since you're allowed to move the first two, you're allowed to remove the third one as well. Even though you now know it's the Shchunas Kavaros, but nevertheless, you're allowed to remove the third one as well. As the Rosh says in the next Dibur Maskil, since you removed the first two Birishus, Pirush Birishus Pinam, so called by Shalom Motzah Gimel, as long as you didn't find the three together, then you can remove the third one from there as well. More questions, this says, really? Vilishvinu Shchunas Kvaros. But the third one made it to Shchunas Kvaros, like the first Girsa that we had, like the first version of Rava, so it made sense that you can't remove the third one. So Amar Rish Lakish says, no, we're Mekel over here. Why are we Mekel? Ilo Matsu V'tiaru Eretz Yisrael. What happens over here is they found the Kula, so to say. Ilo Matsu. The Rosh of Dibur Maskil, Amar Rish Lakish, brings down that this is a Loshon of an Alila, like a libel, so to say. Yisrael Ba'alila Bu'etes U'Bisvara Ketana Taru Eretz Yisrael Mishum Kohanim Vositaros. For even the littlest possibility, the littlest liable, so to say, that maybe you don't have to do this, so therefore we don't do it. We want to keep Eretz Yisrael tar, so Kohanim shouldn't become Tamei, Taros and Kachim shouldn't become Tamei, so with even the slightest pretext, you're allowed to go and remove that third body, because right now there isn't a cemetery there, because right now the first two bodies have been removed, so therefore, according to this Ikud Yamri of Rava, you're even allowed to remove the third body in order to preserve the Tahara as much as possible of Eretz Yisrael. Mark continues and says, what happens? If after you found the first three bodies, you searched out for the 20 amas that we described, and you didn't find any other bodies, what is the halacha? In other words, the Rosh says, in Dibur Maskil, Bodak Chav Amav Lo Motzah, he says, you didn't find any other during this 20 amma distance, B'so Chav Shum Neis, so do we say, Mi Amrinon Lo Bodak Shafir, that you didn't go and search well enough? It's Aruch Old Livdok Ad Karka Basula. You maybe have to dig down deeper until you get to a rock at the bottom, until you hit bedrock. Or maybe not. Maybe we say, no, that's it. You didn't find anything there. And therefore, there is no halachic status over here of Tumah any further. So that's the question that they asked. Amar of Menashe Bar Yirmiya Amar Rav. Rav Menashe Bar Yirmiya said the name of Rav. No, this is called Shchunas Kivaros. It is considered a cemetery, even though you didn't find any additional graves over there. But this is called a Shchunas Kivaros. And the Rosh and the Dibur Maskil, Omer Rav Sheshes, the Rosh had the Girsa Rav Sheshes and not Rav Menashe Bar Yirmiya Omer Rav, as opposed to Tosos that has the Girsa Omer Rav Mesharsha. The Rosh says, Ein Latame Elo Gimel Rishonim Shemotza. You only have the cemetery to be there where those first three bodies were found. You don't have to go and dig down deeper and search if there is other graves or bodies over here. Tosos and Dibur Maskil Bodak has a different answer and explanation for this, because Tosos is goris the next words. My taima, the Rosh is not goris the next words, so he doesn't have to go any further. But Tosos is goris the next words. My taima, what's the reasoning over here that we say that this is a Shchunas Kavaros according to Menashe Bar Yirmiya Amar Rav, which is that just these three are Shchunas Kavaros and not deeper down? So we answer Amar Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says that we find over here, again, a kula, that we want to make Eretz Yisrael tar. Now this is a little bit problematic, because it sounds like the din of Rav Menashe Bar Yirmiya Amar Rav is a chumrah. So how are you telling me over here that this is a kula, and that's why we're going to remove it? So Tosus says, Dibur Maskil Bodak, he says, V'le'echod min haruchos. You only have to go check in one direction. So if you only checked in one direction, then that's adequate. And that's why, because it's a kula that we want to be metar with Eretz Yisrael and not have additional cemetery over here. In the next Dibra Maschom or Meshari Shetosik is another answer. He says, Klomar Shkunetz Kavaru Sho Shlosha Shinim Tzukvar Yeshlo. These first three bodies have a status. However, Avolo Yitzorch Yosu Livdok. You don't even have to go check anymore once you didn't find another body. Why? Because Ilo Motsu Vitiras Eretz Yisrael. That you don't have to go and check it out, because he says, Shehei Lach Borba Omek, that you don't have to go and check deep down, actually, Yilasela Olubsula, until you get to Virgin Rock. So he says, you don't even have to do that, and therefore, that's why this is a Kula, Ila Matzu Vatiru Es Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Kol Sofek Negayim Batechila. Whenever you're dealing with a Sofek Negayim, so if the person is still Tar, and you haven't yet described them as being Tameh, so then we go Sofek here, Likula, and we can say that the person is not a Mitzora. Tar. We call them Tar. What are we talking about? That there's a Safek here? So, Tosos and the Rosh both give us the same answer. We'll look at the Rosh, because he's a little bit more expansive on this. In the very last line of the Rosh, Kol Safek Negayim Betchila Tar V'chule, so he says, the Perek, hey, in Meseches Negayim, he's explaining this Gemara here. Mefarish, and you have to go for the Rosh to turn to Samach Vavam and Aleph. And he explains there that Achelo Niskach Letuma, meaning Ketzad, what's the case talking about? Shnayim, you have two people, Shabo Eitzel Kohen. Two people come to the Kohen to show him their lesions. Bezeh Baheres Kegris. One of them has a smaller lesion that is the size of a gris, smaller amount. Ubezeh Basela. The other one has the size of a lesion that's the size of a cella. Now, you have to go and wait and see. Are they going to grow or they're not going to grow? So, the next week they come back to the Kohen and show it to him, Besov Shavua. The next week they come back, both of them have the size of the lesion of a cella, but unfortunately, they don't know which one originally had the gris and which one had the cella. So one of them grew in size from gris to a cella. He definitely now would be a Mitzora. The one who had a cella and it stayed the size of a cella, the lesion did not grow in size, would not be a Mitzora. So here you could say that one of them definitely is a Mitzora, the other one is not. So in this situation, Ben Yadu Be'ezim Pasasa Hanega, you don't know which one of them had the Nega spread, Ben Ish Echad, Ben Be'ez Anoshim Tar. This is true whether it's one person or two people. What's the deal with one person? So this is surprisingly, even though one of them is definitely Tomei, the Kolshke Bish Echad, it was only one person who had two different lesions. Let's say he had a lesion on his left arm, a lesion on his right arm. One of them was a gris, one of them was a cella. And now next week, both of them are cella. So if it's the same guy, you could argue he's vadai tome, whether it was the left arm or the right arm, it's one guy. Nevertheless, based upon the psukim say it has to be a vadai knowledge, and here you don't have a vadai knowledge which lesion was tome. So therefore, the Rosh says, whether it's two people, certainly, but even if it's one person, here's a situation where both of them were tohar. They hadn't yet been cleared of mitzora, so even though they now vadai, one of the two people, or certainly if it's one guy, he's vadai tomei. No, he's not. The din is that since you don't know for certain which lesion has now become the nega, and you have to know this specific lesion, even if it's a one person, therefore, in this situation, the Mishnah tells us, in this suffix situation where the person is tar right now, he is going to stay tar when you don't know which lesion is the one that now became tomei, either one person and certainly in two people. Unless the person is definitely Tomei. But if the person is already Tomei, how could this be? So you know that they were Tomei. Let's say you had two people, they were both Tomei. And now they go to the Kohen to see if the lesion had gotten smaller. So one of them, the lesion got smaller, but you don't know which one of them was the one that got the lesion smaller. So again, what are we talking about? We're talking about two people that definitely became a Vadai Nega. For example, the Rush tells us that one of them had originally the size of a gris, and it went to be a little bit more than a cella. So he's definitely Tomei when you see it the second time. The other one had a size of lesion of a cella, and now it's a little bit more than a cella. So he's also Vade Tomei. So now both of these two people are Vade Tomei. But you don't remember which one had originally the size of a cella, and which one had the size of a gris. And now they come back to the Kohen, and both of them are shrunk to the size of a cella. Now, the one who was originally the size of a cella would now be tar. The one who was originally the size of a gris would not be tar, because his lesion returned to its original size, and that's one of the definitions of becoming tar. The one who was originally a gris, so it's smaller than it was when it was a sellah plus, but now it's still a sellah, which is larger than the grist, so he's still tummy. So in this situation, when both of them are now tummy, and it's a possibility that one of them is tar, here we go, l'chumra. As the Mishnah says, Mishnah niskach l'tumah, but if they're both tummy, then if there's a suffix, one of them could be tar, sveiko tummy, then we consider both of them still to be tummy. Gemara says, where do we know this din? Minohani mili. How do we know this din? That l'chatrila, we go and judge them when they're tahar leniently in a sopik situation, but we judge them l'chumra when they were both tame. So Gemara says, I'm reviewed on a rav. He says, it's based upon the pasuk. The pasuk says, the whole pasuk is zos toras negas ras. This teaches the dinim of negas ras, whether it's on a beged atzem or a pishtim or a shi or erev, on any sort of a garment, different orientations. Oh, kol kli or if it was on a leather garment, litaro o litamo. It's to make it tar or to make it tame. So Rabbi Yehuda Marav Darshins, he says, the pasuk says, I'm going to call litaro o litamo. It comes to teach us. Hol pasach bo hakosot bitaharo techila. So therefore, in a suffix, when they're tar, you go likula, and that they're tar. Mar says, but that would imply ihachi afilu mishiniskach letuma namisvekotar. Since it says letaro o letamo, so then even in a situation when they're both tame, you should go letar as well. So therefore, the Gemara says that can't be the right drasha. And if in fact Amar Yehuda Amar Rab did say something, he said it on this elu kiit madre Rav Yehuda Amar Rab. If Rav Yehuda Amar Rab said such a statement letaro o letamo ho lepasa boakasa bitaro techila, that's why you consider it tar. He said it on the following statement. Aha itma. He said it on the following, and that was in Baharis. Baharis is a certain type of tzaras lesion. So the halachas are that if this Baharis, which is a white lesion, kodmor liseo lavon, if this white lesion preceded a white hair, so then the white hair's appearance makes this into a tame lesion, tame. However, if the white hair was there first, imseo lavon, called him the Harris. First, there was a white hair, and then a lesion appeared around it. So then, actually, tar. That's not a lesion of tzaras. What happens if you don't know? Did the white lesion come first, or did the white hair come first? Sofek tame. In that situation, the sofek's tame. That is what the Tanakhama says in this brisa. But Rabbi Yeshua Amar Keha. Keha is a lashon that we use. It's a borrowed term. It really means it got fainter, but it's a lashon that we use for tahar. It's not a tzaras lesion. What does my keha? What does keha mean? So here, Amor reviewed this said, keha v'tohar. It became fainter, meaning it became tohar. V'duma keha v'tameh. Maybe keha means tameh. So Gemara says, no, here we have Amor reviewed Amor Rab telling us, the pasuk says, Amor called letaro o letamo. It comes to teach us, ho, pasuk bo akos v'tahara techila. It means that you go lekula. So Rav Yeshua is telling us that it is keha, that means lekula, that it is not considered a tameh tzaras lesion. Now we have two more Mishnais left in this Masechta, but since Samach Vav Omud Beis is relatively short, I'll stop over here a little bit earlier than we normally would, but Mitzvah Hashem, we'll finish off in a very extended shiur tomorrow, and we'll finish off this beautiful Masechta of Nazir, and Mitzvah Hashem, we're looking forward already to starting the wonderful Masechta of Sota, which is a Masechta filled with lots and lots of Agarta, very, very beautiful Masechta. But with this, we conclude today's shiur.